Today, we're going to talk today, hope with the help of the Holy Spirit, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, and may the Holy Spirit be with us today. We're going to shift gears here, and we're going to talk about on purpose, on purpose. Now, for my object lesson today, and I'm going to use it, we're all kids right now, okay? We've got two different things here, both the same color, but both have a different purpose, obviously, right? No kidding. Thank you for my... I need a security guard. Can you be my security guard for my treasures here? Oh, thank you so much. That's another... I was going to talk on the Ten Commandments. Maybe I should have. Another... Anyway. Now, my time is running. I don't have a lot of time here. I got to get going. Okay. Two different pieces of machinery here. Both very powerful. And for those in internet land and radio land, I have two different items here. On the right, I have an orange tractor, Alice Chalmers tractor. And on the left, I have an Indy car, Penske Mobile Racing. And both have a lot of power. A lot of power, right? But one goes very fast.
Yeah.
Fastest. Faster than a NASCAR. And one goes very slow. I have to throw that in. It goes very slow, but it has a lot of power to plow fields, to plant a lot of seeds, right? This tractor can do what this race car can't do. And this race car can certainly do what this tractor can't do. But they both have different purposes, right? And for some of you that aren't into IndyCar, then fine. We have the NASCAR. Now, see, I knew that. I was waiting for that coming. This car can do what the IndyCar can't do, the NASCAR. They can bump, and they can go into each other, and they can just go at it, as they often do. Whereas this car... You touch this car, and it goes off the wall or over the wall, and it can be awful. So again, there's a different purpose for this race car than this one. And those who try to change over have found how difficult it is to go from one to the other. But they all have different purposes, right? Most Christians do not, this is very sad, most Christians don't really understand their purpose in life. How sad it is that we can go through all our life and not understand why God has created us and what our purpose is. And we're going to talk today under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of us as Christians and the purpose of us as a church. And this is a real quick outline you've got there, just photocopied out of a book. And if you want to look at that, this is basically our outline. This is from Rick Warren's church. And it's from his book, you know, we've read The Purpose-Driven Life, but he also has another book out, A Purpose-Driven Church. And he talks about what the purpose of a church is. And he talks about different areas of commitment, different areas of people that we're called to reach. First of all, we're called to reach the community, to reach out to everyone, right? And then we draw what he calls a crowd, or people who are somewhat interested in Amazing Grace. And then below that, it's kind of hard to see, are the committed, those that are active as Amazing Grace. And then you have a core group of people that really are like, they're here no matter what and are very instrumental and are very active in the church. And it's like, if you look up here, there's like a picture of a funnel, okay? We're called to reach all people to Christ, and we accept everyone. However, there are guidelines in Scripture, right, of certain things that are not appropriate. And so all are accepted, all are loved. However, there are guidelines as disciples that God has clearly given us in the Word, in both law and gospel, how we are to live and what Christ has done for us, but especially in the law of guidelines. And as we have this funnel, we reach all people. But as we come down to it, we do see and we do say that there are guidelines to being a Christian. And we realize that we want to reach as many people as possible, but we also want to, we want to have this funnel where we're getting people down to the inner core, all of them, to be disciples. So you got the crowd of people, right? A large crowd. Does that make sense? And then you have some people come, maybe old Christmas and Easter. But we want to bring them down that tunnel, that funnel, down farther. So they're not just part of the crowd or the community. They don't just come on Christmas and Easter. They come, hopefully, every Sunday. So that now they're going down to being more committed. And beyond that commitment, we want people to really be part of the core, everyone to be part of the core and be a disciple, an active disciple. So then we talk more about discipleship and carrying our cross and bearing our cross and giving all to the Lord that He's our Lord and Savior. So we're trying to reach all people, but we realize we can't reach everyone. And we're trying to bring as many people in their discipleship, to go from being just part of the crowd who never went to church, to come to church periodically, to come to church every Sunday or regularly, from that to going to a Bible study, getting involved in the Word of God, witnessing, to becoming an active disciple. That's part of the process, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. I want to talk about the baseball diamond. Of course, it's a baseball season. Whether you're a baseball fan or not, that's not the point. But this is the purpose of a church and the purpose of a Christian. In the Great Commission we just read, Jesus said what? Go to all people and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. What is the purpose of church? A lot of people have all kinds of ideas of why the church is in existence. My bachelor's is in business administration, and we used to do case studies, different corporations, whether it be nonprofit or for-profit corporations, and it was amazing that some corporations had no clue what their purpose was. And they'd have to have some highfalutin, high-priced consultant to come in and tell them what their purpose was, because they'd been at it for so long they forgot why they were in existence. Does that make sense? Major corporations have had to refine their purpose and remember their purpose, whether it be 3M or different corporations had to go back to why they were in existence. IBM, different, some case studies that we had a lot of fun in college going through different corporations and helping them and seeing the thriving ones that were willing to look at their true purpose and maybe change their purpose according to the needs of the people. But we don't change our purpose. But many churches don't realize their purpose. The purpose is not up for debate. Jesus gave us our purpose. He gave us our commission. We have a mission. If you think about the word mission, corporations have mission statements. Well, it comes from the Bible. Hello, the true mission statement is go and make disciples. That is the mission statement of a church, right? And it's called the Great Commission. We are commissioned to do this. You think of the word administration. I just thought about this, actually a few years ago, but I was reminded. You have the word ministry in the word administration. Administrators are called to serve, to minister. Ad means in various capacities, of various aspects. So an administrator is called a minister. And we Christians are all ministers, not just Pastor Rick or myself. We are the public ministers, but you all are the ministry. So it's really important for a church to understand its purpose and then go from that to its vision statement or a vision. How is Amazing Grace different than another church? What is our special purpose? What makes us different? And we know what that is. It's loving acceptance. It's loving all people to Christ. We can do what some churches have difficulty doing. On the other hand, a church of 10,000 members can obviously do things we can't do. And it's so easy for us as pastors to compare ourselves to other churches. And the same way, though, get this, every person is created special by God for a purpose. You have a unique purpose that only you and only I can fill. And it's sad when we can compare ourselves to other people. Ricky is a great administrator. I started in accounting administration. I realized that is not my gift at all, to be organized and go through all the specific goals and objectives. I'm more the big picture guy, the vision, and motivate and inspire. When it comes to specific goals and organizing, delineating, I'm in big trouble. So that's a reminder that I need others in the team to come together and complement what I can't do, so we work better together as a group. Community is very important. Christian community is important. We are all part of the body of Christ. Okay, if you look at this, actually pitcher's mound is not on here. You can't have a game start without the pitcher, right? It all starts in the mound, right? Well, the pitcher mound in this is worship. It all starts in worship. The ball's in God's court. It's all about Him. And so the whole focus is, you know, you were created by God to worship Him, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. Worship is not just what we're doing here, we sing some songs. Our whole life is to be part of worship, stewardship, right? So we're called to worship Him. But we are also called, if you look down at first base, okay, let's go to first base, and you see along the base path from home to first, it's knowing Christ. This is the first level of being a Christian. A lot of people understand that. They think, well, I go to church. I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. That doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Knowing Jesus Christ. First of all, it's realizing we're a sinner. We need a Savior. That's where the law comes in. The law says, you're not what you should be. Good. Thank you. Now we'll start again. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. No. But the mirror of the law reminds us we need a Savior. We are all infected with a terminal disease called sin. And there's no way out of it except through Jesus. And if you don't get that, if I don't get that, we think, oh, I'm a good person. I don't need a Savior. Yeah, Pastor, I'm going to turn you off right now. I don't need that. We are in desperate need. We are part of the human race that's been infected by this deadly disease, and there's only one cure, and that's Jesus Christ. So that's job one, is that people come to know Christ Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. Know Him in their heart. There's going to be a lot of people missing heaven by 18 inches. They've got Him in their head, but about 18 inches below their heart, they don't have Him in their heart, and it's vital that we know Christ Jesus in our heart. Amen? That's job one. People come to know Jesus. So we go to first base, and it's knowing Jesus. It's being connected to Jesus Christ, being connected to other people. Community is very important. I've just been struck with that more and more. I can't do this on my own. Priscilla reminds me how important community is. Very important. If I try to do this Christian thing by myself, I'm in big trouble. I need you. You have all helped me so much in my healing. You really have. Really have. And this is a wonderful place for healing. It's a safe place to be healed and come to know Jesus and other people. So that's first base. Okay, we got the first base. We got a single. We're on first base. But that's not the only purpose for you, is to know Jesus. Otherwise, God say, okay, you're saved. Now go to heaven. All right, Kelly, you came to know Christ. Come on up. Come on down. Come on up, actually. Yours is the price is right. It's free, by the way. It costs Jesus everything, but it's a free gift. But He keeps us here on earth for other reasons besides just knowing Him. So this is true for a church, get this, and for an individual Christian. It's all on purpose. You were designed for a special purpose. We go towards second base, and what's the base path there say? Growing Christ. We don't stay as baby Christians. Now, my little granddaughter, oh, she's so cute. She's starting to be able to stand by holding up, and she's imitating noises. Da, 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 da. Oh, my goodness. It's a blast. It's like, this is great. And then she gets fussy. I can leave and say, bye, y'all. But there would be a problem 5 years down the road if she's still at that stage. I mean, there would be something really wrong with her. And so there's something wrong with a Christian that stays as a baby and never grows, never goes to Bible study, never is in the Word, never witnesses. Houston, we got a problem, a big problem, a growth problem. We are all called to grow. Either we're growing more and more toward Christ, or we're falling backward and backsliding. There's no level ground as a Christian. It's one or the other. And so second base for you as a Christian and us as a church is to provide opportunities for you and for you to receive opportunities and encourage others to be in the Word of God, to grow up as a Christian, to grow and feed on His Word and exercise your faith. But this part is to be nourished in your faith, to grow in your faith, okay? It's very important to grow in your salvation. You've heard Pastor Rick say all the time, the power is in the Word of God. We have to be in the Word of God. When I'm not in the Word, I know it's a huge difference. A huge difference in my life. The power is not there. We have got to be in the Word. It's very vital. And there's all kinds of scriptures about the fact that the Word of Christ dwells in you richly. Which literally means make the Word of God at home with you. Do you feel at home in the Bible? And we want to help you become more familiar with the Word, not as an academic exercise, but as a love letter from Jesus to you personally, where the words jump out of the page right into, leap right into your heart through Alpha, the Truth Project, all kinds of ways. So that's important. So your purpose is to know Jesus, to know Christ, but also to grow in Christ. So we're now at second base. How am I doing on time here? Okay. Well, we got to go to third base here quickly. We're going to slide into third. We're stealing third here because we go from membership and to maturity, from knowing Christ and growing in Christ to serving Christ. Here we're called, everyone's called to ministry. So one of the purposes of the church is not just to have people know Christ, but grow in Christ, but it's giving opportunity for people to serve Christ. And I'm glad Ricky's here because remember that booklet, that notebook he produced was just awesome. That shows the purpose of the church, and it shows opportunities for you how to serve God. Concrete ways to serve God here and now. And we also have the spiritual gifts tool. Babby, do we have any left? Okay, we're going to have to... Next Sunday, I want to try to bring some more back of the spiritual gifts tool because a lot of you haven't turned it in. So a reminder, if you have it, please fill it out and turn it in. Or if you haven't, we'll have more copies next Sunday. Okay? Because it's vital. Every member is called to be a minister. Everyone is called to serve. And the bottleneck of the church is when we expect a few people, pastors or a few people, Babby and Robin, to do everything. And the more people serve, the more we can impact more people. Otherwise, it's just limited because time is limited. Now, I've had a running conversation with a good friend in Crucille, and that is, I can't do everything. I have got to set boundaries. And we talked about that yesterday at the core team meeting, that we all have to set boundaries. Can you do everything you want to do? You can't do it. I have got to remember that with two jobs, 65 hours a week, I can't do everything that people want me to do, of either side. I'm always disappointing people. But I've learned I have to say no so I can say yes to the things I'm created to do, that I'm wired to do. There's certain things, fixing cars, I don't think so. Landscape stuff, irrigation, don't come to me. Fixing the air conditioner, don't come to me. I have limited time. So I want to spend my time in the best way, be a good steward of the time that God's given me on earth, because I don't know how long I have, to do what He's wired me to do. And remember we talked about the shape, the spiritual gifts you're given, the heart, the passion. What makes your heart beat faster? The A, the abilities and talents He's given you. P, your personality, the way you're wired, if you're extroverted, introverted, if you want routine or you like spontaneity. God's wired you for a purpose, your personality, and E, your experiences, your life experiences, educational experiences. The hurts, this is what's really neat. God takes our hurts, our scars, and uses them for a ministry. Where you've been hurt is now your pulpit, is your ministry. And it's been amazing here, and my daughter keeps reminding me, all that she went through, all the difficulties, is the reason I have a job. So she reminds me all the time, Dad, you can thank me for your job. Well, it would have been a lot easier if she hadn't gone through all that trouble to get a job. That's the hardest way to get a job that pays half what it used to make. But anyway, God's used all that for me to minister. And so there's certain things I have to say no to so I can do what specially I'm designed to do. Whether it be a race car or a tractor, don't ask the tractor to go 200 miles an hour. Don't ask the race car to hitch a disc or a plow behind it. Come on. But we're doing that with people all the time. We say, you should be like a race car. You should be like a tractor. And it takes a sense of strength, inner strength from God to say no so I can say yes to what's really my calling. And you need to do that too. Jesus had throngs of people. Jesus, 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 here, get over here. He went away from the crowd sometimes. He said no to the crowd so He could say yes to His Father, went up to the mountain, took time with God, and then He came down. And if He needed to be refreshed and energized, how much more do we need to be? He didn't feel guilty going to the mountain. And get this, Jesus only spent 3 years of His ministry saving the world. Only a little part of the world. I would have gone, oh, I've got to spend 33 years. What's it, 3 years in just a little part of the world? And Paul, as Pastor Rickson preaching, Paul had a sense of purpose like no one else, no other human being, right? No matter what the obstacles were, he was bound and determined to fulfill his purpose that God had given him. Now, I can try to compare myself to Apostle Paul and feel real like a failure. But I'm not Paul, I'm Perry. God's given me a mission different than Apostle Paul's, and He's given you a different mission than me, so don't try to do what I do, and I won't try to do what you do. Okay, is that a deal? But you've got to find out what your ministry is. You've got to. And you've got to say yes to what you're called to do and say no to what you're not called to. So we've slid into third base, and I've got 1 minute. Oh, boy. Now we got to come home. If we're stranded on base, what good is it? We've got to bring all the runners in, right? So we want to slide into home, and what's the base path from third to home plate, say? Are just Rick and Robin or our jail ministers called to witness to others? No. The Great Commission said go. Actually, literally it means in your going, in your job, in your parties, and going to sporting events, and going shopping, and all that you do, in your going, while you're going in life, as you're involved in life and in the world, make disciples, make followers of me, Jesus said. We are called to share Christ and what He's done for us. And if I had more time, I'd share what we had a great story yesterday at a core meeting of someone who witnessed to 15 people all stranded at an airport. It was Greg Alborn. 15 people stranded at an airport, and God used that situation being stranded for him to witness to 15 people. They all got on the airplane later, and they all prayed together and were touched deeply by Greg reaching out in love, not being preachy, but in love, reaching 15 people. A bad thing turned into a good thing. In your opportunities, another sports illustration of football, a halfback will see the openings and will anticipate the openings, right? And go there. He won't just run into a brick wall or into a big 300-pound lineman, right? I hope not. That's frustrating to me when I see that happen in the past. Like, why did you run there? Go around. There's an opening here. It drives me crazy. But we're not doing that as the Cardinals anymore. We used to all the time. Oh, anyway, that's a whole nervous story because I don't have time to go into that. But the point is this. Look for your openings. Kelly has different openings. He can witness in a way. I can't do what Kelly can do. And I can... I know. Yeah. And we all can reach people that others can't. Look for those openings. Look for those people. Think of the circle of people that you can touch that I can't, that Kelly can't. They are there. And the more we pray for that, God will give you chances to love people to Jesus in a very tactful, loving way, but assuring them and pointing them to Jesus. So that's your purpose, Christian. And Amazing Grace, that's our purpose as a church. And anything else outside of this is secondary. If it's not on this, it's secondary to what we are called as a church and why you were created specially designed by God. So whether you're a tractor or a race car, do it for Jesus. Whether you're racing or plowing, do it for Him. And we pray, Lord, we ask that You would help us to live on purpose, that You would help us to be a church on purpose with Your purpose You've given us in Your Word. May we be focused on You and focused on the way You created us, that we might know You personally in our heart, that we might grow in Christ, that we might serve You in the way we are gifted. We might share the greatest news in the world, Jesus Christ, who came to die and rose again for us personally. And He makes a life-changing difference. And what a difference life makes when we can know that all that we go through, it all is for the good to those who know You, Jesus. Help us to know our purpose and live it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.